This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 5th of April 2020. You can hear News West online, on air and on demand. Find out how at vk6.net. Today is the History of Amateur Radio edition, and this time we bring you some excerpts from 50 years ago, March 1970. We report on Western Australian locals doing well in recent national and international contests, and comment on a recent announcement by the ACMA. Welcome back on deck, Roy. I hope you're on the mend and all that's going well for you. I'm Bob VK6POP, the News West producer, and thanks for tuning in. News West is compiled from a variety of sources, and any opinions or views expressed may not represent those of WA Amateur Radio News, but are presented in the open spirit that is amateur radio. Congratulations to Barry VK6ADI on earning first place in this year's Ross Hull Memorial VHF-UHF contest. Barry worked the contest from his hilltop home in East Beverley. When I visited Barry a couple of weeks ago, he told me that he was thrilled to have won the contest. Looking around his cluster of antennas, I'm not surprised that Barry did well. He has some serious antennas aloft on masts, in addition to his on-top-of-the-world location, at 300 metres above sea level, and the landscape dropping away on all sides. Of course, antennas are only part of the deal. The other part is dedication and stamina. Well done, Barry. I hope your effort and success will spur others into participating in these events.
The Commonwealth Contest. This from Steve Ireland, VK6VZ. Steve is the coordinator of the Australia 1 team for the contest. For the fourth year in a row, Australia has won the team section of the Radio Society of Great Britain's Commonwealth Contest. Team Australia 1 finished the contest with 35,683 points, with the top Canadian, World Traveller and New Zealand teams finishing second, third and fourth respectively. Australia 2 finished fifth overall in the team section with 24,453 points. The CW only Commonwealth Contest 2020 ran from 10 UTC on the 14th of March to 10 UTC on the 15th of March. The stations in Australia 1 were Kevin, VK6LW, John, VK4CT, Barry, VK2BJ, Steve, VK6VZ, and Alan, VK4SN. The Australia 2 team consisted of Alan, VK2GR, Brian, VK3MI, Patrick, VK2PN, Steve, VK3JA, and Rob, VK6HG. The Australia teams were ably supported by four Wireless Institute of Australia headquarters stations consisting of VK3, 4, 5, and VK6 WIA. Many thanks to Lee, VK3GK, the Sunshine Coast Amateur Radio Club, Grant, VK5GR, and Peter, VK6RZ, who helped by operating these HQ stations for as long as they could. There were also some outstanding individual performances from Australia. Brian, VK3MI, was world second in restricted unassisted sections with 6,092 points, while Kevin, VK6LW, top scored for Australia with 8,060 points and finished 8th in the overall open unassisted section. Honourable mentions go to Barry, VK2BJ, and John, VK4CT, who tied for 6th place in the open assisted category, while Steve, VK6VZ, and Alan, VK2GR, respectively finished in 10th and 11th places in the open unassisted category. Overall, the conditions during the contest were typical for the bottom of the solar cycle, with 10 metres just about dead, 15 metres showing barely a pulse, 20 metres only giving brief openings into the UK on short path, with 80 metre providing both local and DX contacts. Thank goodness for 40 metres being in such excellent shape and providing up to half the points scored for many of the competitors. A big thank you goes to all other Australian stations who took part in the Commonwealth Contest 2020. The Radio Society of Great Britain's Commonwealth Contest is one of the oldest radio contests in existence, having been first run back in 1931 when it was known as the British Empire Radio Week and lasted for 6 days. Steve says he hopes to see you in next year's Commonwealth Contest. 7-3 from Steve Ireland, VK6VZ, Australia 1 Coordinator.
In amateur radio history this time, we're looking at the Amateur Radio magazine for March 1970, 50 years ago, and very many thanks to Will VK6UU for his website containing all these scanned magazines. And the first one I'm looking at is the correspondence. And here's a familiar-sounding phrase: any opinion expressed under this heading is the individual opinion of the writer and does not necessarily coincide with that of the publishers. We've been at that one for years, haven't we? Anyway, first one is from VK1JG. Doesn't say what his first name is. Dear Sir, what is all this nonsense that I hear on the air? CQDX from Able X-ray 1XYZ. Are we not trying to publicise Australia plus Captain Cook? What is wrong with CQDX from Australia X-ray 1XYZ, etc.? Then in brackets, from the editor, we do not agree with the idea of fiddling with the NATO code, but would be interested to know what others may think. And the next one is a response from John Martin. I wonder if that's the same John Martin that's on the tack. Probably is. Anyway, dear sir, I acknowledge Ken Gillespie's letter on the CW question in the January Amateur Radio. I've already submitted a further letter correcting my omission of the matter of the ITU regulations. However, some further comments, if I may, on Ken Gillespie's letter. First, I question his logic, where he says that the government upholds the CW regulations because it feels that CW should be encouraged. The word encourage implies the existence of a choice, and this is, of course, not so. Certainly the use of CW should be encouraged, but I feel that compulsion is a very poor form of encouragement. Also, the fact that VHF is not normally capable of long-distance communication is irrelevant. There is HFDX and VHFDX. The use of CW is advantageous for both, but why make it compulsory for one and not the other? If it is not deemed necessary for VHF, why make it compulsory for HF? Further, I would certainly disagree with the proposition that CW is easier to learn than a foreign language. I've studied French, Latin and Greek during the past 10 years, and I still find that learning CW is a much more formidable proposition. Please, Ken, be tolerant of the weaknesses of others. Finally, on the proposition that we return to the pre-war regulation, I fail to see why. In order to become proficient in communication techniques, it was thought necessary to confine operators to CW only. Surely a phone operator can become just as proficient in communication techniques in a year as can a CW operator. Anyway, Ken, I would certainly prefer to discuss this topic over the microphone than through a Morse key. My fingers would inevitably get tangled up and my arguments would come out all a stammer. Signed, John Martin, VK3ZJC.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6 Charlie Sierra Whiskey, reminding you that the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's April Bulletin goes to air tomorrow morning. This month, as well as the latest club news, we have for you the story of Larry Tesler, a pioneer of personal computing and associate of Apple's Steve Jobs, an item on Lisa Meitner, who was a nuclear physicist associated with the discovery of the atomic bomb, and a report of the undersea expedition to retrieve radio equipment from the Titanic. There are three transmissions available to WA listeners. The first transmission tomorrow morning will be on digital mobile radio. This will be on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5, at 8 a.m. WA local time, or 00 hours UTC. The second transmission is at 9 a.m. on 80 metres on 3620 kHz from Chris VK6JI. The third is at 10 a.m. on 40 metres on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI, simultaneously with a transmission via the News West linked repeater system. Everyone is most welcome to tune in and to join in the callbacks afterwards. If you can't tune in tomorrow, you can still listen via the internet. As from today, you can download the April audio file from the RAOTC website, www.raotc.com. www.audiofile.org.au. And as well as the current audio file, you can also download files for the previous 5 months. If you do listen via the internet, your feedback via email would be appreciated. The bulletin's also repeated following next Sunday's WIA news transmissions on 160, 80 and 40 metres. Once again, tune in tomorrow at 8 a.m. on DMR Network Talk Group 5, at 9 a.m. on 80 metres, or 10 a.m. on either 40 metres or your favourite NewsWest repeater for the April REOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks afterwards. Stay safe. 73 from Clive, VK6 CSW.
This is VK6 ARN.
Now this from a paid advertisement for Fairchild Australia Proprietary Limited. Complete the following sequence of numbers: 659,664, 109,944, 18,324. What comes next? Of course, you immediately recognise the geometric progression and by now will have penciled in 3054 or 3054. Because we introduced our 2N3055 last month, we thought this would be a logical way to introduce our 2N3054 this month. 2N3054 is a general purpose NPN power transistor manufactured by the new patented Fairchild BIMESA process. 2N3054 is an ideal driver for the 2N3055, and it was available for immediate delivery.
Following item is from the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. The ACMA decides on callsign suffix issues and foundation license callsigns. The ACMA has today decided to remove the connection between the callsign suffix and license class for all three-letter callsigns. ACMA considered the inability of FLs to use the AX prefix to be a major factor in their selection of this option, along with a desire to break the deadlock between conflicting survey results. RASA will abide by the ACMA decision. The issue needed to be resolved. ACMA also strongly made the point that conflicting representations by the WIA and RASA are not an effective way for the representatives of the amateur community to engage with the ACMA. RASA supports this view. Separate submissions by RASA and the WIA are wasteful of resources and increase the ACMA's workload unnecessarily. When all is said and done, the current situation only serves to disadvantage the end user. The inability of the sector bodies to cooperate has effectively wasted 5 months. 5 months in which FLs could have been fully utilising their new privileges. RASA has proposed the formation of a cross-sector committee with the WIA to provide a coordinated input to the ACMA. It is expected that the new callsign suffix arrangements will be implemented by the AMC in the next few weeks, although this could be delayed by current events. We'll keep you posted in these developments as the ACMA and the AMC move to implement. For those of you who are new to AR spectrum management, we have a number of regulatory background documents on our website, vkradioamateurs.org. Once in the website, click on Regulatory Issues and select an article from the list. RASA applies for AX callsigns during the COVID-19 lockdown. Our colleagues across the Tasman have successfully applied to their regulator to use the special events prefix ZM for the duration of the COVID-19 lockdown. This is a great idea, as it stimulates DX activity for the home stations. We have applied to the ACMA to use AX in the same manner. We have copied in the WIA on the application and asked if they will support it.
This history item is condensed, very severely condensed, from an article in the March 1970 Amateur Radio magazine, and the title of the article is The History of Amateur Radio and the Wireless Institute of Australia by G. Maxwell Hull, who was VK3 Zulu Sierra at the time, and I don't know if he still is. I wouldn't dare read the whole thing out because it's two or three pages of three columns, and it would probably take about 15 minutes to read the whole thing out, and I'm not going to do that to you. So instead, because it talks all about the history of wireless, and it's fascinating, but it's very long. Yes, it's three pages. So I'm going right to the end. The last heading there is called The Birth of the Wireless Institute of Australia. And it says people in all walks of life who have a common interest also have a desire to congregate together, and amateur experimenters were no exception. And so it was in 1909. History records the fact of a group of Victorian amateurs who gathered together to form the Wireless Institute of Victoria. In the same year, another group formed the Amateur Wireless Society of Victoria. The former society held their meetings in Oxford Chambers, now demolished, Bourke Street, Melbourne, and the latter held their meetings in an upstairs room of P.H. McElroy's premises in Swanston Street, Melbourne, later occupied by Homecrafts Proprietary Limited. Both these organisations struck badges, which are illustrated herein, and as far as is known, were the only ones to do so. In 1910, the members of the Amateur Wireless Society of Victoria disbanded their club and joined forces with the Wireless Institute of Victoria. In the same year, a group of experimenters formed the Wireless Institute of New South Wales. The members of both of these institutes, recognising the value of banding together to share and advance their common interests, expanded their activities to form the Wireless Institute of Australia, and whilst remaining autonomous, became the first national amateur radio society in the world. In 1913, a group of Western Australian amateur experimenters met for the purpose of forming a wireless telegraph club. It became known as the WA Radio Club, which held its meetings in the science room at the Perth Boys School. A branch of the club was formed in the same year at Kalo, K-A-L-O, I have no idea where that is, in Western Australia. By June 1914, it was decided to expand the scope of the club's activities, and its name was changed to the WA Institute of Radio and Scientific Experimenters. The fever of wireless transmitting spread all over the Commonwealth and in many other countries. In Australia, many other clubs and associations were formed, of which there is no record, other than vague references. But the outcome was a tremendous development of brotherhood between people whose interest was a common one. Little did they realise that as 1914 approached, the world would be engulfed in war. Now that's all I'm reading from the article. I wonder if that claim to it all starting in Victoria was ever challenged, because when we celebrated the centenary of organised amateur radio in Australia in 2010, it was all about it starting up in New South Wales. Well, there's a fight to be had if it hasn't already been done.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Tempus fugit. That means time flies. I wish it would fly a bit faster, though. How are you getting on with your enforced isolation? I'm a bit lucky because I live on 5 acres and cabin fever takes a bit longer to set in because I've got lots to do outside. Then there's a honey-do list that seems to have taken on a new lease of life. There's a bit of activity on the bands and there's room for more. Try a CQ, or respond to somebody else's, or think of something to do on air that I haven't thought of. And that'd be lots, because I haven't thought of much. How's the radio club faring? It takes a bit of work to keep a club going when it suddenly gets torn apart. I heard today of a club, not an amateur radio club, that's tearing itself apart because some people didn't like or didn't agree with the decision to observe isolation by ceasing their meetings, and they look like ceasing to exist. That's a shame. So what do we need to do? Tread lightly, keep in touch, observe, and get on air, or into the shack at least, and make or repair stuff. At this stage, the significant other would be glad to see you vanish into the shack. My wife put something on Facebook the other day, saying she hopes the isolation thing is over soon because she's tired of me banging on the door, begging to be let into the house. We've done well so far with this thing, and as our state border closes at midnight tonight, we can have the last laugh because state and national boundaries don't apply to RF. So there's nothing to stop us getting on air. Take care, everyone, and take care of those around you. We'll beat this thing.
Greetings once again, this is Helpline for the 5th of April. Yes, I'm back home again out of incarceration, and today we have a closing down sale of radio gear from a shack, and Mike's getting rid of all his gear, and he has the following for you: an ICOM IC706 HF VHF transceiver. There's a ICOM 725, there's Turley Phillips FM 92s converted to 2 metres, There's one only automatic antenna unit by ICOM Alpha Hotel 3. There's an ICOM Sierra Mic 8 microphone, a Kenwood Alpha Tango 130 antenna tuner. There's a Create Rotator OCRC 5-1 plus cable. There's one only three element beam. We'll need assistance to lower that one. Two only 20 amp power supplies. One only power and SWR meter. One only Kenwood Delta Mic 8-1 dip meter. There's also a Packrat PK232 Mic Bravo Victor. There's an Amona ATU EAT 300. There's a Daiwa ATU SW110 Alpha. Low pass filters, one by 50 ohm 500 watt and one by 50 ohms 1 kilowatt. There's also a heavy bass Morse key, a realistic SWR, an SW shortwave receiver, Sierra Kilo 190, a realistic 20-channel scanner, two heavy-duty antenna bases, many smaller bases, a number of mobile antennas, and a number of length of coax and some antenna radio books. Happy to listen to any reasonable price, says Mike. Please contact Mike on 04022-62308. Again, 04022-62308. Or the email address, which is Sierra Tango Romeo Oscar November Alpha Charlie Hotel Figure 1 at optusnet.com.au. Again, that's Sierra Tango Romeo Oscar November Alpha Charlie Hotel Figure 1 at optusnet.com.au. And that comes from Mike, VK6, ex-VK6 Mike India November. That's all for this week. Thank you once again. Any items for next week, please contact me by email. VictorKilo6XRayVictor@bigpond.com is the address for all correspondence entering into disposals or helpline. Please contact me and 7-3 till next week.
Next week, News West looks to new amateurs. We'll congratulate those who have just entered the hobby or who have gained a license level or new call sign. What was your experience of entering or re-entering the hobby? Was it good, bad, or indifferent? How about telling your story? Send your story to newswest@vk6.net. Because we're under an isolation regime in order to try to defeat the virus thingy facing us, I expect there are no clubs holding face-to-face meetings, and some clubs are holding on-air meetings or talking about doing so. We're happy to announce your new arrangements here on News West, and to include your meetings on the club calendar or the calendar of nets, both of which are on the VK6.net website. While you're visiting VK6.net, remember to browse around and see what's there. Among the things you'll find on our website is the many ways you can access News West programs. You can download the MP3 file, or you can access it in your favourite podcast app, or even, dare I say it, listen on air. News West is broadcast on a vast array of bands and frequencies and a variety of times. It's all there on VK6.net. Thanks for listening. And thanks to the crew this week. Resurrected Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor, Daniel Dan VK6 November Alpha Delta, and I'm Bob VK6 POP the producer. Thanks to the broadcasters, and don't forget to say good day and thanks to them when you call in for your callbacks after the broadcast. Stay healthy, stay calm, and get on air and make some noise. Thank you.